Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray, O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's often said that the only things certain in this world are death and taxes. They are partners in crime, whose antics put to shame other supposedly terrorizing exploits of even the most notorious duos, Bonnie and Clyde, Frank and Jesse James. No one can hold a candle to the chaos that is caused by death and taxes. But while death and taxes may be an infamous duo, death is not faithful in his partnerships. Death feels no loyalty to taxes. Death has many companions, a veritable army of minions at his disposal. And he is willing to join forces with any of them if the moment is right. But ultimately, they all serve him. Death plays second fiddle to no one. And so death sinks his fangs into our flesh. Before he does so, he may send sickness to season it, not with salt and pepper, but with cancer, heart disease. Or he'll send addiction and despair as his own personal meat tenderizer, beating us down until he's ready to finally consume us. There's certainly no shortage of options for death when he's looking for a partner in crime. And so John's revelation accurately portrays our life in this fallen world as a life of warfare. We are under attack. And so Revelation 7 opens with a picture of our Lord's church on earth, the church militant, an army of which we each are a part. And John sees the church organized in perfect military formation, marching formation, 12,000 from each tribe. He's telling us that we who are on this earth must be prepared to do battle. We must be prepared for a fight, for the enemy is at hand, and he's going to attack with the full force of the artillery at his disposal. But that's not news. Telling you that the day-to-day life in this world is a struggle is far from groundbreaking. We see it all the time. We live it. Life is under attack at every turn. And sometimes those attacks are public and their damage is extensive, like suicide bombings or school shootings. And sometimes the attacks on life are private, much more personal. The kinds of daily struggles and daily tragedies that don't make the headlines, but their damage is still very real. The death of a parent or a grandparent. Like a friend or a loved one whose body finally gives up the fight because it was so ravaged by the effects of disease or aggressive treatments. No, life is continually under attack all around us. And death always claims his prey eventually. It's only a matter of time. And so while many say that the only certainties are death and taxes, in reality it seems like the only thing certain is actually just death. Kings and emperors might not pay taxes, but death catches up with everyone. And even more disheartening than the unavoidable end of life is the way that death clings like a fungus to our existence every day. It's been said that a coward dies 1,000 deaths, a hero only one. The heroism has nothing to do with it. Even the hero tastes death countless times before he stops breathing. Because humanity is like a mouse caught helplessly in the clutches of a cat. And death likes to play with his food. He likes to taunt us before devouring us. And so while it may not literally stop beating, the heart certainly breaks over the death of a relationship, the heartache of divorce or separation. Maybe it's the death of a job, the fear that accompanies it. Where will the next meal come from? Where will the next bill payment come from? Maybe it's the death of a dream, or the disillusionment that festers after we have been let down by someone or something that we trusted. But make no mistake, death is the mastermind behind it all. Death is the ultimate enemy we must face. Death is who's out to get us, fighting with all his might, pulling out all his tricks. So even if you can't hide from your taxes, you can't escape from death, because he always catches up. He always finds his prey. It is certain. But it's not ultimate. It's not final. Death may be unavoidable for us, but it could not hold Jesus. Jesus lives though he was dead. Jesus defeated death. And so although this world may assault us with one tribulation after another, and although in this world death may be certain for us, this world and this life is not all that there is. There is life to come. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Death may always find his prey, but our soul has already died in the water of baptism. Our old sinful nature has been drowned, and now a new creation has been brought forth. Yes, my body will die one day, but then it will be raised to live in eternal paradise. I may not be able to escape death, but death cannot hold me, and death cannot hold you, because death could not hold Jesus. Death may be unavoidable, but there is more to be said. Death is not the last word for the children of God. Life is. And that's the picture that John shares with us in today's reading from Revelation. It's a picture of life. Never mind the 144,000 of the church militant lined up in perfect marching formation. No, this host borders on infinite, a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes, from all peoples, from all languages. And these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes. They've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is the future that awaits us after death has had his way. That's the picture of the church triumphant. That is the victory that is ours, regardless of what happens to our mortal bodies in this world of suffering. And so, yes, we do well to remember that in this world we are under death's thumb, that this world is tribulation, but we also do well to remember that we have hope. We do not lose heart. Even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. We are renewed by the reality of what Christ has accomplished for us. If in Christ we have life, we have hope for this life only, we are of all people the most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And as by a man came death, so also by a man comes the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all may die, in Christ will all be made alive. Revelation 7 gives us a glimpse of our destiny. It shows us what's waiting for us at the end of it all. And it's paradise. An eternity before the throne of our Lord, where he will shelter us, where he will protect us with his presence. An eternity free from the pangs of hunger, free from thirst, free from the scorching heat of the sun, a world free from death and its unceasing attacks, a world free from terrorist bombings and tornadoes, a world free from disease and decay, a world free from death and full of life. And this world is ours, this life is ours, because we belong to Jesus. In the water of baptism, he claimed us, united himself to us, came down into this world of tribulation in order to hold us in the palm of his hand. We are his flock. We hear his voice every time his word is preached from this pulpit. We hear his voice every time his absolution is spoken in this place. We hear his voice every time he says, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, shed to bring you out of this tribulation." He calls to us, and we hear his voice because he is our shepherd. We hear his voice, so we are his sheep. He has given us eternal life, and we will never perish, and no one will snatch us out of his hand. Famine or tragedy cannot snatch you out of his hand. Armies and wars cannot snatch you out of his hand. Cancer or poverty or divorce cannot snatch you out of his hand, for the Father is greater than all, and no one is able to take you out of the Father's hand. So let this world come at us with all its might. Let death take our mortal bodies. It cannot have our soul. Death may be certain, but it's not the only thing certain. For we have the hope, the promise of the resurrection of the body into life everlasting. This side of heaven may remain one great tribulation, but our God is the Lamb who was slain, and he is the one who is now seated on the throne of heaven. And he is our shepherd, and he will guide us to streams of living water, and he himself will wipe away every tear from all eyes. May our Lord guard us in this hope, protect us safely in the Father's hand till the day of his return. In Jesus' name, amen.